And we're holding the last words of Pei Dalad Omidbeis. We started learning yesterday about the various dinim when a person buys something and they measured but didn't yet do mashicha. We started talking about the various details of where different kinds of kinyanim would work. For example, we said mashicha doesn't work in Rishas Rabbim, it works only in a simta, only in a side street. We also were talking about when the keli of the seller or the lekeach is involved over there, that the keli of the lekeach itself can be considered like a schotzer, or there's various other explanations among Rishonim exactly how it works, but in any case, the point is, it can acquire for something for him, but only if it's a place where he has the right to put down that keli. So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel d'ami tarayu, Rav and Shmuel both say, a person's keli, a lekeach's keli, can acquire something for him, even wherever it is, even if it's in the, even if it's on the property of the seller. With the exception of Rishos Rabin. So in other words, if you were to put down, if they hadn't measured it out yet, even if they decided on a price, the payment is going to be X amount per pound or whatever. We didn't actually measure it out yet. He just goes and fills up his keli. And then, so we're saying, because it's the lekeach's keli, then even if it's in the Moichel Yerushus, Rav and Shmuel are saying it will be koina for him, but not if the same thing were to take place in Rishus Rabin. Rashbam points out, we have to be talking about, now if he doesn't, now that would be when the seller explicitly says, Yikna l'cha kel yecha, your keli should acquire this for you. We're going to talk about that later on in the, sugya. Further on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if he didn't say so explicitly, and the Gemara is going to end up saying we can't prove one way or the other, so our Braisa has to be talking about where he explicitly said you be koinet for yourself in your keli. So except for Rishos Rabin, or for that matter, the Rashbam adds, the same way in a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them, also it wouldn't work. So that's Rav and Shmuel. Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlokish, Damu Tavai, Rav Philip Rishos Rabin, Rav Yochanan, Rav Shlokish say it would work even in Rishos Rabin. Amar Papa, like Pligian, Rav Papa says, really, they're not actually arguing, kan Rishos Rabin, kan Besimta. Rav and Shmuel are talking about an actual Rishos Rabin. So there, he doesn't have the right to put down his keli, because who in Rishos Rabin can give him permission to put down his keli and block traffic? Therefore, no. As opposed to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are talking about an asimta, a side street, like we talked about yesterday. We said the Rashbam had given two definitions of a simta. One is like a private alleyway, so it doesn't really belong to people specifically, but it's like it's used more just by the people who live in that area. And the other one is just, it means in general, a side street, which sometimes B'nai Rishos Rabin might go in there when it's crowded in the Rishos Rabin, but basically it's not quite as heavily trafficked as the Rishos Rabin, and therefore a person can put down his kalim there for a while. So Rav and Shmuel, when they say that a person's keli can acquire for him anywhere except for Rishos Rabin, they mean to include, they're saying that it's not in a true Rishos Rabin. Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, when they say even in Rishos Rabin, what they really mean is a simta. They're calling it a Rishos Rabin only, in other words, it's not a Rishos Yochid, but they don't mean that it's a true Rishos Rabin, as in, which is very heavily trafficked. They mean actually a simta. And Tosfos points out the diuk, in other words, is when it says when they say afilu b'rishos rabim, what they mean is, needless to say, it would work in a chotzer that belongs to both of them. It would work even in a simta which doesn't belong to either one of them. So the Gemara says, Hachi Nami Mistabra. So in fact, it's logical to understand that Rav and Shmuel versus Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are not actually arguing, but rather each of them is talking in this different scenario, Rishos Rabin versus Simta, and we can prove that to Amar Rabba Bohu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because we have another thing that Rabbi Yochanan says. We have Rabba Bohu saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, A person's keli can acquire something for him in any place where he has permission to put it down. Implying yesh le rishus ein, ein le rishus loy. So it only works if he has permission, only if he has authorization to put down his keli over there. Now, a simta, he would have that. A simta, he has the ability to put it down and nobody's going to stop him. The same way in a chotzer of that belongs to both of them, or even in the rishus of the seller, where he tells him, go be koina. So in all those cases, he has a rishus. In rishus Rabim, no, he doesn't have a rishus to put down his keli, because again, he's going to be blocking traffic. Tosfos points out now, we have three statements of Rabbi Yochanan that bear on this question of being koina something with your keli in somebody else, in being koina with your keli. We had, at the beginning of the sugya, we had Rabbi Asi saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if you put them in a simta even without a keli, then we said if you put them in a simta, you're koina, and we said that actually what it means is not that he put them on the ground in the simta, but rather he put them in the lekeach's keli. And then we said he has to actually measure it out, so we have a known amount that he's going to be buying, and then it works. And here, on the other hand, we're saying it's koina b'chol makom sheyesh lo rishus without mentioning any of the measuring. So Tosfos says that over here we're talking about the basic idea is he has to tell him zil kni, go and be koina. So if he measures out, then that's the equivalent of saying that. Whereas over here we're saying that he didn't actually measure it out, but he's saying to him zil kni, go acquire it. So the point is one or the other one works. So that's why we need, in fact, Tosfos said, that's why we need both statements of Rabbi Yochanan, and we wouldn't have the ability to learn them one, to learn them one from the other. We did have before where it said, so before, when we learned yesterday, when it said, afilu b'rishus rabim, and it said that works with modad, even in rishus rabim. And again, we're saying that Rosh Hashanah really means a simta. So, okay, that Tosfos says that wasn't explicitly said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That one is deduced from one of these dinim. But the point is, he does have to mention the case of Modad and the case of where he says, and the case where he says Zilkni, respectively, because the point is to tell us that Modad counts as saying Zilkni. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Toshma. So we see yesh le rishus ein, yesh le rishus loy. So we see only if he has permission to put down the keli over there can he be koneh. If not, then not. Shma mina. So that proves the distinction that we're making between rishus rabim and simta. All right. The Gemara continues. Toshma. Arba midas v'moshrin. Let's prove from a brisa that says there are four rules as far as sellers. Now, how exactly we're going to parse out from the brisa over here, four rules we'll talk about soon. There are a few different explanations among Rishonim. But first, we'll learn the brisa straight through, and then we'll talk about how we divide it up into four and into four types. Adchalei smala mida. When we get to the point before the measuring thing has been fuzzy, before the measure has been completely measured out, lamoicher, then it belongs to the seller. So in other words, let's say, for example, the deal was that he's going to be buying 100 pounds of peiros from him, or 100 gallons of wine or oil or whatever, until they finish measuring it out, until they finish measuring out the 100, it still belongs to the moicher, and therefore, in other words, if it spills or whatever, then it's on the moicher. Once the measure has been filled up, lelekeach, then it belongs to the lekeach, and now at that point, first of all, when we say it belongs to the mocher, means either one can still back out of the deal if he finds a better deal someplace else, but it also means if it's sold, it would be the mocher's responsibility, if it's spilled, it would be on the mocher's responsibility. Now that we're saying now that it was fully measured out, then it's the lekeach's responsibility. The braisa continues, b'med v'ronam amur b'midah she'enu shel shneihem. Now that, when would that apply? Where that would apply when the measuring thing belongs to a third party. So in other words, he borrowed it. They borrowed it from somebody else to do the measuring. So it has a function for each one of them. It's used by the lekeach to measure in order to get his. But it's also being used. So it's being used for measuring and also to store it in. So therefore, so as long as they're in the middle of measuring, then we're saying it's in the reshus of the one who's doing the measuring, namely the mocher. So now, in other words, the point is that Rashbam explains the halacha theory behind it is like this. You can't be koina with somebody else's keli. Now, the fact that it belongs to a third party, fine, that doesn't violate that issue because he's lending it to them for this purpose. But as long as they're busy measuring, then then it's considered the mocher's keli temporarily because it was lent out. One of the purposes it was lent out was to do the measuring, and the mocher is the one who's doing the measuring. So therefore, and he hasn't done meshicha or hagbah or what have you. So therefore, he hasn't been koneh yet. Once it's filled up, now at that point, it transitions to becoming the lekeach's keli because it was lent to him also for the purpose of storing the wine or oil or whatever. So now this braisa is saying, so that's why you have that it depends whether it was measured or not. The Rashbam also adds that the Tana of this braisa holds that it would work even in Rosh Hasharabim, which the question is, that's why we're bringing this in over here, because on the face of it, that means that even in Rosh Hasharabim, it would work because the braisa is not specifying. So we'll revisit that later and see whether we're talking about in Rosh Hasharabim. So that's the braisa continues. Now, when does that apply? When the measuring utensil doesn't belong to either one of them? So then again, he's using it temporarily. The mocher is using it to measure out, and then the lekeach is using it to store the merchandise. But if the measuring utensil belonged to one of them, rishin kana, then we don't need to wait until the whole thing is measured out. As more and more of it is being measured out, then whoever it is that owns that container is the one who's koina. So if it belongs to the seller, then even when the whole 100 gallons or whatever has been measured out, it's still going to belong to him because it's his keli. So then the lekeach is still going to have to do meshicha or some other form of kinyan, because after all, it's the mocher's keli. And if it's the lekeach's keli, then you don't even have to wait until the whole 100 gallons are measured out. As each gallon is measured out, he's going to require it because it's his keli. So you have that. Then the braisa continues. So when we said it depends whether they finished measuring or not, then that's when the midah doesn't belong to either one of them. They borrowed it from a third party. Abim hoisa midah shal echad man, but it belonged to one of them, as we said, rishin kana. Then each one, the first thing that he measures out, he acquires. Bamed varam amurim. Now, when is all this talking about? Bishasarabim over chotzer she'ena shal shnehem. This would be in Rosh Hasharabim. Now here's the reason why we're bringing in this Gemara, because here we're saying that Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are saying you can't be koina with a keli in Rosh Hasharabim, and here on the face of it we see that you could. So we'll get back to that soon. But anyway, when it's in Rosh Hasharabim, or b'chotzer she'ena shal shneihem, or in a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them. So the owner of the chotzer didn't give them permission to do anything over there, so therefore it also is considered that this, so therefore it's like Rosh Hasharabim in that sense. Aval b'shus loicher, but continues the b'raisa, if all of this took place on the premises of the moicher, then even if you're using the lekeach's keli, then the lekeach is not going to acquire it yet, even though the keli is his, because again, he can't acquire with his keli on the premises of the seller. And the Rashbam says, even if we have everything, we agreed on a price and we measured it out, and we did meshicha, even the meshicha wouldn't work because it's still in the reshus of the moicher. what he could do. He could do Hagbah, he can lift it up, or, and it'll work anywhere, or he can take it out from there into his own Rishos, or into a Simta, or something, that Rashbam also brings later on in the Sugya. We're going to have also that he could, you could have it placed into his hand within three tefachim of the ground. We'll learn about that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So in all those cases, it would work, but basically, just the fact that it's his keli, if it's in the Merchus Rishus, is not going to help him.
Why it doesn't work in if something like that, and in the case of a get, if it's in the Abraham,
we're going to talk about a get. We're going to talk about a get on other days. We're going to get back to that. Keep in mind, usually a get is not given on the premises of the husband. But yes, we are going to talk about anomad days, just that, where we're going to have a case of a get, and we're going to try to apply that to here. Yeah. Anyway, continues the Braisa. So again, so far what we have like this: Renitz and Rishos Rabim, or a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them. Then it depends who the midah belongs to, whether it belongs to the mocher or the lekeach or to a third party. In the Rishus of the Mocher, we're saying it doesn't matter who the Keli belongs to. Regardless, he's going to need Hagbah, or he's going to need to get it out of his Rishus. Continues the Braisa. The Rishus Lekeach, if the sale took place on the premises that belong to the buyer, Kivin Shekibol Olav Mocher, then as soon as the Mocher accepts on himself, and saying that I'm willing to sell you this grain for this and this price, Kona Lekeach, then right away the Lekeach is Koina, even before they measured out the full amount, because his Rishus is Koina for him. So that would apply even if the Keli belongs to the Mocher, because again, it's bottled to his Rishus. So right now there's a number of things in this Braisa that right now we're assuming mean a certain thing, and then the Gemara is later on going to modify that understanding. So right now we're assuming it means that even if they're using we're using the Mocher's Keli, then this din would apply, and we would say that nevertheless the Lekeach is still Koine because his Rishus. Later on, the Rashbam points out, later on the Gemara is going to modify that understanding and saying we're talking about a Keli that belongs to the Lekeach. Anyway. So that's another case where it's in a Rishus of Lekeach. The Rishus Haloha Mufkodim Etzloi. What about another case where the Peres are on the Rishus of a third party who is a Shomer for those Peres? So here we have now, so till now we've been focusing just on the Lekeach and the Mocher, Reuven and Shimon. Now we have, there's also Levi involved. Previously, Reuven has deposited these Peres for safekeeping with Levi. And now, therefore, we can assume that also Levi, the Shomer, is also Makne, his Rishus, for the purposes of these Peres, that now Reuven can go over there, or not even go over there, that he can arrange to have the Peres that are there sold. So if the Rishus Halom of Kodem Etzloi, if they're on the premises of the Shomer where they're being watched, Loikona, then when it's measured out and sold or whatever, then the Lekeach is not Kona, Adchi Kabel Olav, unless the Shomer accepts on himself that now he's going to set aside a Rishus for the Lekeach to acquire those pairs. Or unless the Lekeach rents those premises from the Shomer. The Rashbam adds that also he would have to do that. There would have to be the consent of the Mocher. There would have to be the consent of the Mocher to do that. So now also, Rashbam points out it's not like it has to be that way. It's true he could still do Hagbah, or he could still do Hotzah. The Braisa is not mentioning that because the Braisa is focusing, the Braisa is telling us the way things usually are doing. So, in other words, when the merchandise is located in the Mocher, on the Mocher's premises, we can assume he wants to get it out of there because it's taking up space, and that's the whole point, he's selling it. So therefore, we would assume that at some point he's going to pick it up and he's going to carry it out of there. As opposed to by a Shomer, it's more likely the owner of the Peres doesn't care if they stay there. To begin with, he deposited it by this guy for safekeeping. So we can say, okay, now you'll transition from being a Shomer for me, and you're going to be a Shomer for the other guy. Anyway, so there's the whole Braisa. So that was the Braisa, the way that the Rashbam has the Girsa of it. He points that out, comes from Tesefta, and he gives the whole Girsa over here, and so the Rashbam explains the four Midas that we have over here are like this. We don't mean as far as the different Rishuyas. Because, for example, the same din would apply to the reshus of the seller and the reshus of the shomer. Either way, as the Rashbam explains at the end, either way, you need to either do hagbah or take it out of there, or you need to rent the place. And the only reason we're separating them in the Braisa is because of the practicalities, because usually in the reshus of the mocher, he wants it out of there, and in the reshus of the nifkad, he doesn't necessarily want it out of there. But in terms of the actual din, it would be the same thing. So the Rashbam says we don't actually mean that. So when we say four things in the Braisa, we don't mean four reshuyas. Rather, the four are like this. Number one, where the measuring utensil doesn't belong to either one of them, and it's in reshus adabim. Where there we said it depends whether it's full or not. The second one is where it belongs to one of them, and we're saying Rishon Kana, as each bit is measured out, then it belongs to him. That's the second case. The third is Rishus Lekeach, where they're doing it in the Rishus of the buyer, and as soon as the seller accepts that he's going to sell it at a certain price, then he's Koine because of his own Kinyan Chotzer. And the fourth one is where it's in the Rishus of the seller, or in the Rishus of the Shomer. There's your four. That's how the Rashbam explains it. Tosfos still points out that the fact is, in that case, still, then why did the Braisa mention the Rishus of the seller and the Rishus of the Shomer separately? The Rashbam is saying because it's in each one, it's doing what we usually do. In one case, usually we would do Meshichah. In one case, usually we would do Hagbar or Itzah. And in the other one, we would usually do Schiros Mokim, to re-rent the place. But the fact is, that's a practical difference. The Braisa could equally, the fact is, both Dinim apply to each one, so the Braisa could easily have just done it that way. And Tosfos has some other questions. Anyway, Tosfos rather explains the four Midas are, as far as the Kalim, you have where it belongs to a third party, to the Mocher, to the Lekeach, or to the Shomer. So those are the four according to Tosfos. Then there are Rishonim who say, the Ramban, the Rashba, say that no, we are actually talking about the four Rishoyas, not like, even though the Rashbam mentions that possibility and says no. So no, they say you're talking about when it's in Rishus Rabim, versus when it's in Rishus Lekeach, when it's in Rishus Mocher, and when it's in Rishus Nifkad, because then they say, and that the reason why the Rashbam was saying, in effect, isn't that the same as Rishus Mocher? The difference is that the Lekeach would have to, that in that case, the Shomer would have to set aside a place for him, or he'd have to rent the place, and only then would he be koinah. Actually, a kabbal all of them. In other words, they learn that it means not that he's accepting on himself that for so it means basically yeah that it means that he's accepting on himself that he's going to set aside a spot for these things. So those are the four. So in any case, so you have four Rishuyas involved over here when we're buying and selling pears. However we understand that four Rishuyas, we have four different cases depending again how we parse out the Braisa to get four different ones. In any case, the Braisa, so the Gemara continues, Katani Mia B'Shus Rabim Ovechotzer Shein Eshol Shneihem. Now, we said in the second case of the Braisa, we said where the Mida, where the measuring utensil belongs to one of them, then we said Rishon Kana, we said that he acquires each bit as it's measured out, but Bamedvar Mamurim, when is that talking about? In Rishus Rabim. So Katani Mia B'Shus Rabim Ovechotzer Shein Eshol Shneihem. It would work in Rishus Rabim or Chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them. Now, at the top of the Amud, we said that Rav and Shmuel say flat out that it doesn't work in Rishus Rabim to be Kona like that, only with Hagbah, and Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish would say it works even in Rishus Rabim, but we said not a true Rishus Rabim, but rather an Asimta. But here the Braisa is saying actual Rishus Rabim. My love, Rishus Rabim Mamish. Doesn't the Braisa mean an actual Rishus Rabim? And it's saying that as long as the Midah belongs to one of them, then he'll be Kona. So here, here, Rav and Shmuel are explicitly saying chutz mirshus rabim, and Rav Abahu, we said, also said that also that a person's keli can't be kona for him in a place where he doesn't have a rishus to put it down. Well, he said it is kona in a place where he does have rishus to put it down, but implicitly that's not rishus rabim because he has no permission from the bnei rishus rabim to put it down over there. And yet the so we have a contradiction on Rav and on Shmuel and on Rav Abahu in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, "Loi, no, still not necessarily simta. The rishus rabim of our brisa may mean a simta, just like we said before. That just like we said before, as far as Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, that they say it works even in rishus rabim. And Rav Papa clarified that what they meant is a simta. So the same way the brisa may be using the word rishus rabim loosely, and really it means a simta." So the Gemara says, "The fact is, though, that it said that it's not that it had that it's similar that another." Parallel example would be a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them. And in a chotzer that doesn't belong to either one of them, neither one has rishus to put down their kalim unless they've been given permission for that. So then we have to be talking about a real rishus at Adam, which is the same thing. So in fact, the Ran points out the Gemara didn't even really need to ask the question from Rishas Rabim. It could have actually asked straight out from the Chotzer Shenishol Shnehem, because the fact is we see that even where he doesn't have permission to put down his Kaili, then he's not Koina over there. Anyway. So the answer is my chotzer shenishol shneim nami deloy dehai kula deloy dehai kula elut shavayu. You know what? When the brisa says chotzer shenishol shneim, doesn't mean it doesn't belong to either one of them, but rather it belongs to a third party. What it means is actually that it belongs to both of them. Shenishol shneim. It's not exclusively the property of one of them or the other one. Rather, it's the property of both of them. So in other words, so that would be when the Braisa is saying that now it depends who the Kaili belongs to, if it's a third party's Kaili, then we said that it starts out as being the Moichu's Kaili while he's measuring out, and then it becomes the Lakeach's Kaili once they finish measuring it out, as opposed to we said Rishus Lakeach, Rishus Moichu, or third party's Rishus, etc. But here we're talking about that when does all of the supply, when we're in a Rishus Rabim, which really means a simta, like Rapapa said before, or that it's in chotzer sheneshol shnehem, meaning a chotzer that belongs jointly to both of them, where therefore either one has permission to put down his kalim over there. But it is true. So the Braisa is not in fact saying that if it was in a true rishus rabim or in a chotzer that didn't belong to either one of them, that it would work. In fact, it wouldn't work over there because then he doesn't have the right to put down his kalim over there, and therefore he can't be koina in any form with a kalim. He would have to do hagbah because hagbah will work anywhere, or he'd have to do that he schleps it out there into a simta or into his own rishus or into a joint rishus or whatever. Okay. So the point is that braisa doesn't contradict anything we've said so far about not being koina and rishus rabim, because it's not in fact saying that he's koina and rishus rabim. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Bamin Rav Sheshes Mirav Huna." So Rav Sheshes now asks Rav Huna, "Kuya shelekeach rishus moicher." What happens if the lekeach places his keli on the premises of the moicher, kona lekeach oloi? Is the lekeach acquiring or not? Do we say that he's acquiring because it's his keli, or do we say that the rishus that it's located in is the more important thing, and therefore and that's mevatel the fact that it's his keli? In other words, and the point of the question is, Tosfos points out, it's one thing to be said in Rishus Rabim, it's not going to work. The difference is, who in Rishus Rabim are you going to ask for permission to put your kalim over there? But over here, the question is, the Moichu did give him permission to put it down. So would that work? He didn't actually rent him the property or anything like that. Obviously, if he rented it to him, there'd be nothing to talk about. But we're saying he didn't actually rent him the spot, but he did give him permission to put down the kalim over there. So maybe therefore that should work. And then Tosfos goes on to point out that now we did have Rabbi Yochanan saying before that if he places it in a simta, namely in his keli that's in a simta, then it works. Wouldn't that imply only a simta? But maybe not, because maybe Rabbi Yochanan didn't want to mention Rishus Moicher. Maybe he has the exact same question that Rav Sheshes does. Okay. So Omalei, so Rav Huna answers Tini Suha. Well, we can prove it from a Mishnah in Gittin. So here you asked before Rav Moshe, what about a get? Well, here now we have that discussion. So the Mishnah says that now we know that the get has to come into the wife's rishus. The nosan beyoda. The pasuk says that he places the get in her hand, and we know hand also means rishus. So therefore, it's enough that he places it in her rishus. But the Mishnah says zorke lo l'sercheka. If the husband threw the get into her lap, or into her basket that she uses for her weaving, for her sewing supplies, or whatever. Cheka would mean, in other words, the Rashbam says, actually means onto her clothing. So it lands like in a fold of her clothing or something. Kalsa would be, this basket that she uses for needles and other small sewing equipment like that. So then the Mishnah says, Megureshes. So Hareza Megureshes, it works, and she's divorced. Now, but Pashtus, we're talking about where she's in the husband's Rishus, she's in his house or whatever, but he throws it in a way that it lands on her garments or in her basket, and it's Koina. So there you go. You see that a Keli that belongs to the Lakeach would work even in the Rishus of the Moicher. Amalei Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, my time of Pashta Slemeahi, why are you trying to answer Rav Sheshus's question on the basis of that Mishnah? Don't you realize Mochula Mea Uchli B'Uchla? They've already struck it 100 blows with an Uchla. An Uchla is a small unit of measurement. We're going to have it mentioned a little bit later in our parak. We're going to talk about the dinim of honest weights and measures that the Torah stresses in a few places. So we're going to talk about the various types of measurements that they used in those days. There was a small measurement called an uchla. So they struck it 100 times with an uchla, meaning, in other words, like they pelted it with all kinds of questions and statements that modify what the Mishnah is saying. Not that Amaroyim can't argue with the Mishnah, but that they point out that the Mishnah is talking only about in certain very limited cases. So you can't generalize from that this is going to work any time that you have a keli of a lekeach in the rishus of the mecher. Because we see there's a number of ways that the Amiroyim have to say that this Mishnah is talking about a very specific case. First of all, Rabbi Yehuda explains in the name of Shmuel, you're not just talking about where the basket is hers and standing someplace in the house. You're talking about that the basket is actually hanging from her body. So therefore, so now when the get lands in it, she's done hagbah in effect. So and Hagbah works anywhere, even in Rishus Rabim, even in somebody else's Rishus. So if it was, so the Rashbam points out that it means, in other words, it's not, no part of it is dragging on the ground. It's all lifted up above the ground. So therefore, she's Kone by Kinin Hagbah. So that doesn't prove anything about her Keli being Kone for her, because you don't need a Keli for Hagbah. So that would explain why, even though it lands in the basket, it works. Rishlokish gives another explanation. Actually, it would work even if it's tied to her body, even if it's not hanging, even if it is standing on the ground, but it's attached to her body, it would still work. Because the fact that it's connected to her body is still considered to be like part of her goof. So the same way as it works when it lands on in a fold of her clothing, the same way it would work over here. In any case, again, according to Rish Lakish, you can't prove from that generically that the keli of a lekeach is acquiring when it's in the rishus of the moicher. In that case, the keli is attached to her body by a string or something, so therefore it works. Rab Adaba Ava Omar, Rab Adaba Ava gives yet another explanation. The case would be where this kalsa, where this basket is actually between her legs. So she's sitting on the ground, cross-legged, for example, and now she has in the space where she's sitting is where the basket is locating. Now, so it is on the ground, but Rab Adaba Ava is saying the husband is not makbid on the space where his wife is sitting. Because up until now, until she receives the get, she's his wife after all. So therefore, he's not makbid on the space where the basket is either, because it's between her legs as she's sitting cross-legged over there. And therefore, that's another reason she could be koneh, because he gave her rishus to sit there, and implicitly he gave her rishus to put down the kalsa. Rav Mesharshi Abreid Rav Ami Yomer, and Rav Mesharshi Abreid Rav Ami says yet another explanation. You could say that her husband himself sells these kinds of baskets for a living. So he has a bunch of such baskets in his house, and one of them belongs to her. So he's not makbid on the spot of that particular one, because we're talking about, in other words, that he has a particular room or a particular area or whatever reserved for his stock of kolossos, and therefore that one of them belongs to her. He's not going to be makbid that it's there. So that would be another reason why the basket is considered that it's sitting in a place that where she has permission to put it down. There's a couple of other explanations that Rabbeinu Gershom explains. Rather, another way of looking at it is we're talking about that she now went and bought one such basket from her husband. So now he has anah that he just sold another basket. So therefore, he's willing to say that the basket can stay where it is until you pick it up and take it.
She says she has no money, but to me.
Who says she has no money?
Everything under her is
in her. No, because you can still have, a woman has a certain amount of pocket money that her husband gives her. We learned back in Ksubas, you can have somebody gave her money on Manas that her husband doesn't have rishos in it. There's various possibilities, yeah. And it could also be, keep in mind, it could also be that she agreed that she's going to buy it and hasn't actually given him the money yet, and then once she's divorced and she makes the money, then...
And he also wants to give her the get, so he's...
Yeah, he wants to give her the get, too, yeah, the fact that he wants to give her the get, it helps, but nevertheless, the fact is, we still need to be in her rishus in order for it to work. So Tosfos explains, again, it's not that she's actually koneh any karka over here, it's not that she rented or bought any karka over here, but she has the rishus to put her kalsa over there, so again, it would work, because wherever he has permission to put it down, then it would work. So before we said, we're talking about Kiryusha, the whole question was, Kiryusha lekeach rishus moicher, so fine, the moicher is not going to prevent him from putting it down, but he didn't actually tell him, go ahead and put it down. If he did, then yeah, it would be exactly the same case. In any case, so we have so far four different explanations why we can't generically say that Mishnah is telling us that she can acquire it through kalsa, where it's her keli and the rishus of her husband, because we're saying that's very specific cases. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, and Rabbi Yochanan says another explanation, Mokam Cheka Konula, Mokam Kalsa Konula. What it is the same way as the space where the folds of her clothing is temporarily acquired by her. She's sitting, again, let's say we're talking about she's sitting on the ground, or even if not, let's say some of her clothing drapes and falls on the ground. Nevertheless, she's considered a person is not makbid on that area of loyal mokum kalosa, and also not on the place of the kalosa, because again, it's a small little basket. So it's considered to be in the rishus of the lekeach. Rabbi Yochanan says she actually acquires the area where her clothing are and the area where her kalsa is, and Omar Rava, my time is Rabbi Yochanan, and Rava clarifies, the Omar Rava really, it says on the side, that why does Rabbi Yochanan say that? It's not so much that she's koneh, it's not so much that the husband was makneh to her that area, but Lafisha ain't on a makbid, loyal makum cheka, loyal makum kalasa, a regular person is not going to care about that. In any case, the point is we have five different explanations of that Mishnah that don't require us to say that it's saying generically that a keli of the lekeach acquires in the rishus of the moicher, and therefore, so Rav Nachman is saying to Rav Huna, you're trying to answer Rav Sheshes' question about kiryusha lekeach rishus moicher on the basis of that Mishnah, but we have many different explanations. That's what he used the expression, like you took an uchla, you took a small measure the size of an uchla and started banging on it. In other words, you're like breaking it apart and showing that it applies only in very specific cases. Rather, continues Rav Nachman, you want to answer Rav Sheshes' question about the keli of the lekeach and the rishus of the moicher, you want to say where you're going to learn it from. Then instead you can derive it from the braisa that we learned on Amud Aleph, where we had the Arba Midas, we had the four different types, where we talked about, are we talking about where we had again Rashbam versus Tosfos versus Ramban, how exactly we break up the braisa over there into four Midas. But in any case, one of them was b'shus moicher. We said that if the keli with the payris is in the property of the seller, loy kona ad shiak vihena, I ad shiyetiena b'shus. He's not koina unless he does akbar, because akbar will work anywhere, or he takes it out of his rishus, or until he takes it out of his rishus. My rab the kilya de lekeach. Now lechura, that case is talking about where it was in the keli of the lekeach. So the lekeach brought his keli into the rishus of the moicher. And still we're saying just the fact that it was measured into his keli doesn't work. He would have to do agbah, and that would work anywhere. Or he'd have to take it out of there and bring it into his own rishus, or into a sinta, or into whatever, and then his keli could acquire it for him over there. So that goes to show then that, yes, you can't acquire with your keli in somebody else's rishus. So the Gemara says, loy, no, not necessarily. Rav Huna, they hadn't wanted to use that as a proof, because you could say peculiar de Moser, because you could say it's talking about the seller's keli, and that's why he's not acquiring, because not only it's his rishus, but it's also his keli. So in other words, the Rashbam explains, in other words, that the reason why we started with the understanding that it meant the keli of the lekeach, but what we're saying is, in other words, unless otherwise specified, we're going to understand that generally the keli belongs to the same person to whom the rishus belongs to, because after all, that's where his kelim are usually located. So we can assume that when the braisa is talking about rishus moicher, that yes, it means we have good reason to say that the braisa is saying that the keli also belongs to the moicher, even though we thought it meant the keli of the lekeach, but we're saying that no, it means the keli that's usually going to be found in this rishus, namely the keli of the moicher. So the Gemara says, "Midereisha bekilya de mocher, sefer nami bekilya de mocher." Well, then, in that case, then if the third case is talking about where it's in the rishus of the seller, is talking about that it's his keli, then the case of the case of the lekeach would also have to be bekilya de mocher. Then, wouldn't we say the next case in the braisa is also talking about the keli of the mocher? Ema sefer. Well, then look at the next part of the braisa where it said rishus lekeach, that where the sale is taking place in the property of the property of the lekeach, kibin shekibel all of mocher. Once the mocher has agreed that he's going to sell them at this price, koner lekeach, then the lekeach is koner. The iba kulya de mocher, my koner lekeach. Now, if you're talking about, in other words, the Gemara is assuming that. The Gemara, this point that the Rashbam said before, actually the Gemara itself is going to say at the end over here, that generally the keli, we're going to assume, follows the rishus. But right now, the Gemara hasn't reached that point yet. So right now, the Gemara is assuming that we're talking throughout about a keli that belongs to the same person. So first we thought we're talking about the keli of the lekeach, and therefore that we can use this braisa as a proof when it's in the rishus of the moicher. Now we're saying, on the contrary, the third case of the braisa was talking about a keli of the moicher. Well, now the question becomes, in that case, then we would assume that throughout the rest of the braisa, we're talking about a keli that belongs to the moicher. And that means even when it talks about the rishus of the lekeach, would also be, we're talking about a keli that belongs to the moicher.
The answer that
the keli goes according to the rishus, that we haven't gotten to yet. Right now, we're still assuming that the distinction in the braisa is just going to be as far as the rishus, but not as far as the ownership of the keli. So if you're going to tell me midereisha bekilya de mocher, if you're going to tell me the first part, meaning that when it talks about where they're selling in the property on the premises that belong to the mocher, and we're talking about that we're using his keli, sefer nami bekilya de mocher, then we should assume that the keli belongs to the mocher, then the sefer, we should assume also that it's talking about the keli of the seller. Ema sefer, well, let's look at that sefer. The rishus lekeach, we said where the sale took place in the rishus of the lekeach. Then, given shekibel all of mocher, kona lekeach, then as soon as the mocher is willing to sell at this price and this amount, then the lekeach is kona right away because it's his rishus. But if it's his keli, if it's the peculiar de mocher, if it's the mocher's keli, am I kona lekeach, then why is the lekeach acquiring anything? if you're going to tell me that a lekeach, that if you're going to tell me that the keli of a lekeach can work in the reshus of a moicher, and we would say, in other words, yes, it's the other guy's reshus, but it's your keli, and therefore it's able to be koina, well, then the other way around. If the moicher's keli is in the lekeach's reshus, we should say that the fact that it's in his keli means it hasn't completely transferred ownership yet. So how can we say rishin rishin koina?
But and the answer that we said before, that the person's not makbid on the person's...
But here, it's not a question of not makbid. First of all, he might well be makbid. It's a large keli. Before, we were talking about kalsa, which is a small work basket. A person might not be makbid on that. But here, we're talking about it might be a gigantic keli. So it might be a whole dumpster or something. So
he wants
to sell it, but he does not necessarily say that I gave you permission to bring your keli in here for the purpose.
Sensible.
Yeah. So in other words, the point is that now Tosva says, okay, the Gemara at this point could have said something like, listen, maybe you could say that there's a difference between the Lekeach's Keli and the Rishus and in the Moicher's Rishus, but maybe not the other way around. Maybe the Lekeach would rather, he wants to buy the thing, so therefore he's willing to implicitly give the moicher permission to put his keli down over there and to have it bottled to his reshus. But instead, the Gemara is going to give a different answer. The answer is sefer son lekeli v'lekeach. As a matter of fact, in the sefer, we're not only talking about a difference of reshus, we're also talking about a difference of the ownership of the keli. So in the third case, the braisa we're talking about, it's in the reshus of the moicher, and it's in the keli of the moicher. And in the sefer, we're talking about that it's in the reshus of the lekeach and the keli of the lekeach. Well, the Gemara says, my poska. Well, what makes you say definitively that it has to be so? Why should we assume that a braisa is switching like that midstream without telling us?
Or the reshus and the sefer are different
people. That's exactly, that the reshus and the sefer should be talking about different people's keli. And the answer is, stoma de milsa, because the typical way is how it is. He moicher, be moicher, money to moicher, shlichi. In the house of the moicher, you're more likely to find the kelim that belong to the moicher. Be lekeach, be money to lekeach, shlichi. In the house of the lekeach, there's more likely to be his kelim over there. So in other words, therefore, so the Braisa would be saying, that Ashbam says, when we say, again, the Braisa was talking about Arba Midas for Moicherin, so two of the four are, when it's in the Reshus of the Moicher, then the Lekeach, the only way he's ever going to be acquiring is through Hagbah, because usually we're going to be selling over there in the Keli of the Moicher. So maybe, in fact, it would acquire with the Keli of the Lekeach. Maybe not. We haven't yet proven that point. But in any case, usually the Keli that's going to be used there is that of the Moicher, and therefore, the lekeach is not going to be able to acquire, neither because of the reshus, nor because of the keli. He's going to have to do hagbah, or he's going to have to take it out of there. As opposed to the next part of the braisa says, when it's in the reshus of the lekeach, usually the lekeach is using his own keli to measure into, so therefore he's kona, so therefore he's rishon rishon kona, therefore he's kona each one we said kibin shekibul all of moicher. Once the moicher has accepted, has agreed to the terms of the sale, then right away he's kona, because the lekeach is kona right away. So that would be what the braisa means when it's drawing that distinction between reshus moicher and reshus lekeach. Implicitly in that, there's also a difference of whose keli it is. And so then again, then the braisa said that if the keli doesn't belong to either one of them, then we said that it depends whether we're in the middle of measuring or not.
The measurement is a sort of kinyan, right?
So we're saying not so much the measuring is a sort of kinyan, but while he's measuring, it still belongs to the lekeach. Once he's finished measuring, while he's still measuring, it belongs to the moicher. Once he's finished measuring, it belongs to the lekeach. And we're saying because then at that point they've made the sale final. But we said that was talking about where it was in a simta or a chotza that belongs to both of them, as opposed to, we said, Rishus Moicher, Rishus Lekeach, then we're saying it doesn't work. Fakert, in Rishus Moicher, it would never work, because no matter who, unless it is, maybe if it's a Lekeach Keli, but the Braisa is not addressing that point, because it's not usual for the Lekeach Keli to be present over there, and vice versa if it's in Rishus Lekeach.
But in the way it can stand, yes, because he's coming to buy something, needs a Keli to take it, so he brings his own Keli.
Maybe, but that doesn't mean that the Lekeach gave him permission to put it down over there, or vice versa, the moicher gave him permission to put it down over there. Again, if he gave him permission, there's nothing to talk about. The whole point is, where he didn't actually say, go put down your keli over here. The point is, in other words, so we can't really prove one way or the other from this braisa whether a lekeach keli in the merchas reshus, whether it's able to be koina, the case from Gittin we schlugged up because we pointed out that there's many amiroyim who say that there are certain specific cases over there that doesn't bear on the general question of the keli of the lekeach. As far as proving from the Braisa with the four examples on Amud Aleph, we're saying that no, because they were talking about that the keli matches the reshus that it's in. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll continue with trying to bring more proofs for this question of when the Lekeach's Keli is located in the Merchus Rishus. Does it work? Does it work for a Kenyan or not? So we're gonna take that up and continue that discussion, and then continue that discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Yeah, but if something you could pick up, no problem. But if it's something that's a little bigger.
So that's the Gemara is going to make that distinction tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We're going to talk about where you're able to pick it up. Then you need to do that. As we talked about before, you need to make the strongest, in general, the rule, the basic rule was, you need to make the strongest kinyan available, and therefore where you have Hagbah available, then you need to do that rather than Meshicha. We talked about that. We talked about that. We talked about Rabbeinu Tam's point on that what is it, our kinyan and mevatel one another. It's not necessarily a matter of the strongest kinyan, but rather where he's explicitly telling him, I want you to do this kind of kinyan rather than this one. We had the whole discussion in the previous perek, or earlier in our perek, actually, in terms of buying a boat, as far as the different kinds of kinyanim that are available. But yeah, so here we're focusing on where he wants to be koine through his keli, and we're saying in order for that to work, it has to be that your keli has a right to be there. So if it's your chotzer, then obviously your keli has a right to be there and you can be koina. If it's somebody else's chotzer and his own keli, then it's not going to work. Here, where it's your keli, but in somebody else's chotzer, and he didn't actually give you permission to put it down over there, that's exactly the point. That's exactly the subject under discussion over here, and that's what we'll continue with that discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Good.